Amen. It's good to see everybody out at the home group meeting today for the month of September. And I would also like to welcome all those that listen over the internet. I just keep getting all kind of emails and just all kind of information, and thank you very much. I really enjoy answering the emails and talking and sharing, and just, you know, I just trust that the Lord just goes ahead and blesses you as you listen over the internet. Amen. So as we always do, there's a couple points from the last month that that we looked at that we go ahead and we just start into, and then that kind of points our spirit and our thinking into what the Lord would have for us today. And today we'll be sharing Wilderness Truths for Modern Times, number 15. It's just kind of hard to believe that this has been 15 months, over a year, that we've been doing this, and it's just been a wonderful joy. Amen. From last month, there was four points that I'd like for us to look at, you know, briefly. And the first point is the wilderness of sin, and we're in the wilderness of sin now, is for the making of soldiers. That's what the wilderness of sin, and this is the third wilderness, the children of Israel, that they went into. And this is the area of that 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, the area of sin, that small part, is where the soldier, is where they're being made. And so the wilderness of sin is the making of soldiers. The second point is there are hardships we must endure to be a good soldier. Amen. There are hardships we must endure to be a good soldier if you're in the military, and there's hardships that you must endure if you're going to be a good soldier for the Lord. And I will tell you, the better soldier you are for the Lord, the greater the hardships the Lord will bring into your life. Wow. A lot of Christians don't want to hear that, but that is true. How do we grow spiritually in the Lord? We grow spiritually in the Lord by God working in our lives and bringing us into some straight and some narrow places, into some difficult problems in our life, and we allow Him to move us through them. And as that happens, those hardships that we face in our life, then we are therefore grow in the grace of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the harder the situation that we face in our life, the better soldier we will be for the Lord. The third one, quickly, is the tougher the training, the tougher the Marine. Hurrah? That's right. And that was just an analogy that I used last time. Our son-in-law is a staff sergeant with MARSOC in the Marine Corps. And I use the analogy that a basic Marine does not do the same training that a Marine that is in MARSOC. And Ray is here, and he's a Marine, and he knows what I'm talking about. But the tougher the training that you go through, the tougher Marine that you're going to be. And that's just in the natural, and that's also in the spiritual. And the fourth point, briefly, is God desires to work faith and stamina in us. Now, that is a key point from last month. God's desire in us to build us into soldiers is to work faith and stamina into our life. If God cannot build faith and stamina, those two elements in our life, then He'll never be able to make us that tough soldier for the Lord that we need to be. It's just not stamina or just not faith. It's those two elements together. God must be able to work in our life. We must allow that to happen. Faith in us and stamina, the ability to endure whatever God is bringing in our life, in whatever we are living in our life. We must be able to endure those two things, what God is bringing into our life as He works in our life. And I will tell you, sometimes when God begins to deal in our life and show us our heart, when God becomes to do things, you know, and we know that it's God, it can be very, very difficult. Ask Job. All in one day, Job lost everything. Except his wife. He lost his children, all of his wealth. I mean, that was all God ordained. Wow, you can look in the Bible. All the people in the Bible that God allows things and brings into their life. Very, very, very difficult. But all those people, on the end, if they allow God to build faith and endurance in them, on the other end, Job got twice as much as what he lost. Twice as much. Not because God was, you know, felt pity on him. Well, I'm sure he did it sometimes. but because Job said, though God slay me, yet I'll trust him. God allowed faith to be worked, Job allowed faith and endurance to be worked in him, and in the end, he got twice what he lost. Amen. We're in this truth for modern times, number 15. Let's go ahead and look at a wonderful verse from James. James 5, verse number 10, that says, take my brethren, the prophets. And this is James. He's saying, consider them, who has spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Wow, what a wonderful promise from God, right? Suffering, afflictions, and patience. Well, the Bible I read that Jesus says, in this world, you shall have tribulation. Well, we will have suffering. And James was pointing the people back at the church of Rome at this time, at the prophets, and said, look, consider the prophets, all the things that they went through, all of the suffering and the afflictions and the patience that they did. Our training ground is the first point that we're going to look at. The wilderness is a place of training for conquest. That is key and paramount tonight. The wilderness, that area, those areas in our life, those confusing times, those times that we don't know what's going on, we're just angry and, we just don't know what it... The wilderness, those times that God is working in our life, those places when you're sure that you're going to be defeated, but God somehow saved you through that. Those times that are confusing and you just don't know what's going on, but God is working in you. As you go toward God, He's able to work in you and build His character and His nature in you. Is for conquest. God always intends for His children to be victors in conquest. If you're looking for defeat, you can't find it in God. There is no defeat in God. God has never been defeated. And so if you're a Christian and you're looking for defeat, you have to go somewhere else. God is always looking for conquest in us. And it is in the wilderness, in these training places, that God builds this conquest in us. The wilderness is not the end, because rather the wilderness is a means to the end. In other words, the wilderness, all of those difficult circumstances and all those times that you don't understand, is God's means in our life to build us into victory, to build us into the conquest, the victory. God has His means, and you know what? God picks the training. We don't get to pick the training. Amen? That's like God gets to pick the sacrifice. Oh Lord, you can touch this, and you can have this, and you can have this in my life, but oh Lord, you can't have this area. Oh no, well, that's not the way God operates. God gets to pick the sacrifices in our life, as well as God gets to pick the training grounds in our life. He gets to pick the training that we're going to go through. God will not give any of His children anything that they cannot bear. There is no training, there is nothing that a child of God will go through that is too difficult for them. God loves us, He knows us, and He knows just how to bring us to those places and those training areas in our life that will enable us to be a great success and in victory. God has many means, to be sure. Consider the means to be used upon Joseph, Job, Moses, and David to bring them into resurrection life. Remember, if you want to experience resurrection life, you have to die. Let me say that again. If you want to experience the resurrection life of Christ, you have to die. That's what the resurrection life is all about. It's not about living, it's about dying. And so unless we die, unless we fall into the ground like that corn of wheat in John 12 and 24 and die, then we'll never, ever be able to experience that resurrection life of Christ. The resurrection life of Christ first is found in death. And as we die and become a part of His nature in that sacrifice, then we will never, ever be able to come into that victory. Amen? But the means of God will offend us. Uh-oh, but the means of God. You need to read this really close. But the means of God, all of those things that God brings into our life and He does to build His character and nature in us will offend us unless we have a desire to become like the Lord, as Paul did. Even God's work in our life can cause us to stumble and fall out of the way. How many Christians do you know that were walking with the Lord, and the Lord begins to deal with their life and judge and start saying, well, Dave, look at your heart. How about this pride? How about this arrogance? How about this and how about that? You know? No, Lord, and we buff the Lord and we will walk away. And I have known Christians that have walked away, totally walked away from the Lord. It wasn't from sin. And they're telling you, they had enough of God's word and they just don't want to, and they just walked away. Wasn't sin they walked away from. They walked away from God's dealing and judgments, His means in His life. And I will tell you, the longer you go with God, I'm glad you're sitting down, the longer you go with God, the tougher it gets. The longer you go with God, the tougher it gets. We're climbing the holy hill unto the Lord. It's not a downward slide into heaven. It's an uphill battle. It's difficult the longer you go with God, because the longer you go with God and the more He gives you and the more He works into your life, the more He expects of you. The longer we go with God and the more we, you know, take upon His character and His nature, and we receive of His gifts and all of the things of the Spirit and all of this stuff, the more He will expect in us, and just the tougher it gets. Amen. Amen. We must not allow God's work in our lives to offend us. We must not allow even God's work in our life to offend us and get us off track. Didn't happen with Joseph or Job or Moses or David. You know, none of those four. They endured God's work in their life. They allowed faith to be built in them, and they were victorious. Joseph was in a pit. He was in prison, sold by his brothers. He was lied on. You know, he was in Potiphar's house. But these were all the means of God. Amen? They were all the means of God. Joseph was in perfect will. When Joseph was in prison, God said that Joseph was a prosperous man. You know what Job had? A loincloth. Maybe, I guess. He probably had a loincloth. But God said he was a prosperous man, because biblical prosperity has nothing to do with money, has nothing to do with wealth and houses and cars and all that. Biblical prosperity has to do pushing forward in God. Joseph, while he was in Potiphar's house and he was in prison, he was pushing forward in God, and God said of him he was a prosperous man. And then the victory in Joseph's life was seen when he became Zephaniah, the number two ruler in all of Egypt. He held life and death in his words. Wow. God must be able to bring us to such a glorious place. But we do not have much capability for such things until God begins to work in us and until He takes us to the wilderness. We will never, ever be able to come into that glorious place until we allow God to begin to work in our life, till we really have a face-to-face encounter with God, and we open up our heart and our spirit to Him and say, Lord, you know, ravish me. Just ravish me, you know. Show me my heart. Show me areas in my life. Show me the kind of man I am. Show me the kind of husband I am. Just show me and work in my life. And Lord, take me to the wilderness. In all of these areas, you know, Lord, just take me to the wilderness. Herein our victory that overcomes the world and all of the offenses contained therein, even unto our faith. We must allow God to work in our lives in preparing our hearts for the means that He brings into our life. Unless we allow God to work in us, we will not be able to endure the testings of God. Amen? We can't. Because in the natural, we'll never be able to endure the things that God brings into our life. And so we need to allow God to work in our life and build us up and strengthen us with His might in the inward man. You know, it's easy to stand in the physical, isn't it? It's easy to stand in the physical, but it's very difficult to stand in the spiritual. Jesus, when He was before Pontius Pilate, He stood there and Pilate says, don't you know? I can't take your life. And Jesus stood there and you know what He said? You want to see it again?
I got it.
Want to hear him again? Nothing. Because he knew that Pontius Pilate's words was nothing. Pontius Pilate could not do that. And the physical, he just said, are you kidding me? Do you know who I am? I'm the Son of God. I could destroy the world. But he opened, the Bible says, he opened not his mouth. He said nothing. He was strengthened with might in the inward man, not in the physical man. Because the physical man was perishing. He was beaten, flogged, and, you know, his physical man was perishing. But in his inward man was being strengthened. And that's what Paul says, that we need to have our inward man be strengthened with might in the inward man. We must allow God to work in our lives, preparing our hearts even for the means that God brings in our life. In the world of Stan, there were differences and pressures due to circumstances and even the Egyptian blood called the mixed multitude. Exodus 12:38 says, and a mixed multitude went up with them and flocks and herds and very much cattle. At times there was no water. At other times there was bitter water due to their heart condition. The children of Israel experienced all of these pressures, all of these sufferings, and all of these afflictions, all of these trials. All of those things that they experienced in the wilderness were God's training tools. In the wilderness of sin, the making of soldiers. God was making them soldiers through suffering. Why do I suffer? God's making you a soldier. Why am I afflicted? God's making you a soldier. Why do I go through all of these difficult things in my life? Hey, same answer. God is making you a soldier. God was making the children of Israel a soldier. Through all the, an army until all the things, because in the wilderness they fought eight battles. They fought eight battles and they defeated eight kingdoms. But the first year in the promised land, they fought 30 armies and defeated them. But they were not ready to do it in the 40 years of in the wilderness, because it was like 5 years, 8 times 5 is 40. And those 40 years, they fought eight battles, and they won those. But their first year, wow, 30 armies they defeated in the first year. That's because in the wilderness, God made them soldiers. God taught them how to fight. That's why the tougher the training, right? Hoorah! Better the Marine.
Amen.
Right? God had to make this army into soldiers. And he did that. Amen. At times there was no water. At times there was this only bitter water. What training tools are God using in your life tonight? That's the question you have to answer. I know some training tools God's using in my life. Each and every one of us, God is bringing areas and situations into our life, and is watching our response in those, and God is just using these training tools to make us good soldiers for Him. In my life, God may be using this or that, or God may be using the same thing, Brother Darrell, in your life that He's using in my life. I don't know. I don't know what He's doing in your life. But you can bet to be sure that God is working in both of our lives. And He's bringing us, into areas and stuff and training us so that we can be a useful soldier. Amen? These experiences of the Israelites become our lessons. Remember the whole Genesis, the whole thought of the worldly truth for modern times. As Paul told the church at Corinth to look at the examples. Consider the children of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness. Learn from their mistakes. Learn from their mistakes. And that was the whole genesis of the wilderness truth for modern times. That we go ahead and we look and see what they did and how they did things and all the things that they went through so that we would not make the same mistakes they did. But you know what? I'll be honest, I find myself often making the same mistakes that the children of Israel did. Murmuring, complaining, lack of faith, no stamina. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. But that's okay. That's okay. Remember, in God, failure is not a problem, right? Failure is not a problem in God unless you get stuck in it, right? You can fail. You can go, oh, Lord, pick me up. fix me up, dust me off, bam, you know, puts me on my way. But if you get stuck in failure, then that's when it's a big problem. As we look at all those that have passed before us, we can see them in the light of experience until God brought them through. Some of them we can scrutinize through many years of their lives and even all the way to the end of their lives. Some would say some failed, while others would say that others succeeded. I can think in my life, I'll be 60 years old here come January 31st, and I can think back of different people in my life that I consider to be a great success in God, and how they have molded me and shaped me in my character spiritually. I can think back of different people in sports, coaches and stuff like that in my life that I played sports. They were great. You know, there were great successes, you know, because they, you know, they taught me things about character and about doing the right thing and all that. And then I'm sure that same in your life. And there's people in your life that you could see that were failures, or what we think that are failures. Remember, in God there is no failures. And so somebody that maybe stumbles and falls, at that time he may have failed, but he can get up and he can move again. And all you got to do is just think about all the people on TV and this person and that person and, you know, all of that stuff. And all of that stuff is out there, but you know, we shouldn't be focusing on that person's failure. What we should be doing is focusing on that person getting up and moving on the Lord. Our tools become my tools. Your tools often can become my tools. And what I said all of that to say, I look at Daryl, folks, and I see how God is working in his life, and I hear his testimony, and I hear things that he says, and I'm inspired by that. And God's tool in your life now becomes God's tool in my life. When we see our brothers and our sisters fail and get up, when we see our brothers and sisters go through hell on earth, and I tell you, I have been through hell on earth, and I have had brothers and sisters go through hell on earth, but when we see that happen in their life, that this inspires us. And whatever God was doing in that person's life now becomes a tool in my life. And I see that, and I'm inspired by that. And I allow, you know, and I just, you know, I just receive that. And it's just, you know, where your tools become, that can become a tool in my life. Again, failure and success in God is different than with man. Success can, success in God is God's intention, and failure in God is only when we get stuck in it. Remember, in God, the race does not go to the strong and to the swift, the foot. They don't. In the world, who's ever the strongest and fastest and smartest and best looking, if they win the race, you know, they get the prize, they get the crown. But in God, that is not the measure of God's victory and success. God's measure of victory and success is for he that does it lawfully. He that does whatever God wants him to do lawfully, according to the law, or within the govern and within the framework and within the things that God wants us to do, whatever that is the person that is a success in God. Not to the brightest and richest and famous and all that good stuff, but success goes to he that does things lawfully in God. And that word lawfully means framework. It's in the framework that God wants things to be done. But hopefully through our experiences we can see and understand certain spiritual lessons that God is attempting to teach us in similar circumstances. Success in God comes out of learning God's lessons for our life. Wow. Did you hear that? Success in God comes out of learning God's lessons for our life. We'll never ever be a success in life if you're a Christian, or say, I'll caveat that. If you're a Christian, you'll never ever be a success in life. I don't care how much money you have, how many cars you got. I don't care if you're the biggest preacher in town, got the biggest church, all of that stuff. You'll never ever be a success in God unless you learn the lessons that God is trying to teach you. That's what it's all about. We have to learn those lessons. We must never look for success also. We must never, ever look for success, but we must always look for the lessons that God is trying to teach us. It's not about success and getting successful. No, no, no. Because as a Christian, it's when we learn the lessons that God has for us that makes us, you know, a success. So it's not going after success, but it's going after and learning the lessons that God has for us, because when we learn those lessons, then we're a success. And it doesn't matter if we drive a Yugo or a little car or we live in a shack or whatever. All of that stuff doesn't matter. You know, we think success is a big house and cars and, you know, but that's nothing to God. To God is when we learn the lessons that He wants to learn. And that here, take care of our need, right? Not our needs. Don't say needs, you know. You know, in Peter it says that, you know, God will supply all of our needs, right? No, don't say that. I was the school nurse today, and she has this little, like, Bible marker, and it had all these verses, and you know, it says all this stuff. And then it said, and 1 Peter says that, you know, that God, you know, supplies all of our needs. Well, it doesn't say needs in 1 Peter. It says need. Need. It's an adjective. And that need is our desire for things. Needs are things. Needs are houses, cars, all that good stuff, right? That's needs. But need is the attitude of caring about all of these things. God will take care of that. And why can He take care of that? Because He cares for us. He cares for us, and we don't have to worry about all of those needs. We just need to worry about that need, to have that attitude, not to worry about all that stuff, because we know that God will care for us. And so if we can learn those lessons that God has for us, then we're going to be a big success, and nothing ever can stop us. Amen? The results we see is the successful life becomes our encouragement. James 5:11, it continues on, it says, "Behold, we count them happy which have a big house, a big ministry, two cars, and a chicken in every pot," right? No, it said, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." God is trying to build faith and stamina in us. Faith and stamina. Wow. "Ye have heard of the patience of Job." Job at times had patience, didn't he? Other times he lacked patience. But God was building patience even in him then. "And we have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Encouragement is not success, by the way. Did you know that? Encouragement is not success. But it is needed to touch our endurance. Encouragement is not success, but encouragement is needed to touch each other's endurance. Stamina and faith God is trying to build in us. And so when we encourage our brothers and our sister, when we, you know, we put our arm around them and we tell them we love them, and, you know, we do all of those things, that helps touch their endurance. It helps them to continue on and move on. Amen? The ones that go through the testing victoriously, patiently endure. Plodding on, we count blessed. We don't count blessed those who perish in the wilderness, do we? We don't count blessed those that have fallen out of the way. Even those Christians that have fallen out of the way from God's dealing and judgments, or the Christians, and you know them, that have started with you maybe and now are no longer walking with the Lord. But we count blessed those who have entered into the promised land to possess it. And remember, today the promised land is not a land that flows with milk and honey. That's not the promised land for us today. The promised land is the life of God. That's our promised land. The life of God. And we do not have to wait to die to be able to have the life of God. God expects us to have the life of God today. Right now. The 22nd of September, 2014. John 1:3 says, "Now this is life eternal, that you may know God. God expects, He's working in our life so that we'll be able to walk in the life of God, that resurrection life, today in our life. He's looking for that. He wants that to happen in our life. But that will only happen in our life when we go ahead and we learn the lessons that God has for us when we're in training, you know, and we work and God works in our life. And we learn those lessons and we'll be able to come into the life of God. And again, the life of God comes out of our death. Jesus says, if you are baptized into my, if you are not baptized into my death, then you shall have no resurrection life in you. Wow. It's not living. Our flesh wants to live, live, live. I want to live. I want to do. I want to go. Jesus says, no, I want you to die. I want your flesh to die. I want your dreams to die. I want your ambitions to die. All of that stuff to die so that I can put my dreams in you. I can put my joy in you. I can put my ambition in you. I can put my stuff in you. And then you'll be able to live. Live a victorious life. You'll be able to live like the life of God. This is God's purpose and plan for all of us. To enter into the promised land now. Now. To walk in newness of life. Not being baptized in old religion, but being raised today in newness of life, the life of God. Amen. We can fail in the midst of evil, which comes against us. Or we can fail this, and it will destroy you. The only reason the children of Israel died in the wilderness is because they destroyed themselves. How about that? Children of Israel destroyed themselves in the wilderness of Israel. They did. It was not the wilderness that killed them. The wilderness did not kill them. They killed themselves from lack of faith. Hebrews 4 says that their carcasses fell in the wilderness because of lack of faith and unbelief. That's why they died. The wilderness did not kill them. The situations, the circumstances, the lack of water, the food, all of that stuff did not kill them. They killed themselves because of lack of faith. Because it did not kill Joshua and Caleb. It wasn't the circumstance that killed them. It wasn't anything except their own fault that they fell in the wilderness. They never allowed God to build faith and endurance and a stamina in them that they would be able to endure the things that God brought into their life. So too in our life, our training and our lessons will not kill us. Wow. All of those things that happen in our life, all of those things, the things we call bad often, all of those things, the things that God brings into our life and all of that stuff, it will not kill us. But disobedience will. Disobedience will kill us. All of the hard things that we go through in life, the things that God brings our way, and even some things that we bring our way, that stuff won't kill us. It won't kill us. But what will kill us is disobedience. Not doing what God wants us to do. Not learning the lessons that God brings our way so that, you know, He could teach us some things about His character and His nature and about us. The direction of man into eternal damnation results only from his own will. That thing was never caused by God. That thing was the result of the will of man, his destructive ways, his perverted ways, and the decision to move contrary to God's will. Peter writes, but these, this is men or mankind, as the natural brutish beast, might be taken and destroyed, speaking evil of things that they may understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Notice their own corruption. The wilderness never killed anybody. The children of Israel, they died because of their own unbelief. When they begin to speak against Moses, God brought what? Serpents into their midst. And Moses, oh, these people are dying. God said, okay. So stand up a brass pole and put a serpent on there, and those that look at the serpent will live. right? Right? So it wasn't the serpent that was killing everybody. It was their disobedience. It was the disobedience of the people that killed them. Amen. So parting thoughts. God does not count failure as failure until you get stuck in it, as I said. Just because you fail, God doesn't say that. Well, that is the end of that. And I'm going to haul him out of the city dump and just leave him there. No way. However, the continuation of being stuck in failure, habitually unbelief, and disobedience results in bringing you to a dead end. Wow. It's not the things that happen in our life that will destroy us. It is our unbelief and our disobedience to bring us to an end. Failure is okay in God if we learn from our mistakes. Amen? When we develop a habit of being disobedient, then we will fail. And we cannot get over there. There is a habitual habit of becoming disobedient that we can develop in our life. And it's very, very difficult for God to get us out of that thinking. When we constantly keep failing and failing and failing, we constantly become disobedient, it's very difficult for God to work in our life and bring us out of that thinking and out of that mindset. And I believe that's when it talks about the unpardonable sin. I believe that is what that's talking about. But God has never sent anybody to hell. You know that? Never has God sent anybody to hell. If anybody ends up in hell, it's because they have chose to do that which God has told them not to do. Or they have chose not to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. God says, today I set before you life and death. Then he says, choose life. And the ones that choose death, well, then they get death. That's just the way that works. The only way that man ever came to death was through his own fault. How about that? Isn't that interesting? The only way that man ever came to death was through his own fault. He made death for himself and for all who followed him. When Adam was created, there was nothing of death about the man. God never created death for man. He never created death for any animals. Nothing. When Adam was created, there was nothing of death. The elements of death did not exist in Adam when God created him. The only reason death came to Adam was that he was the maker of it. Adam made death. Romans 5:12 said, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, that was Adam, and death by sin, and so death passed away unto all men for all that have sinned. Wow, how about that? Even God didn't make death for man, but because of man's disobedience, it's like the wilderness never killed anybody for the children of Israel. It was their own disobedience. And even the whole mankind, God never made death. But when Adam sinned, death came into the picture. Amen. So to today, out from our choices and decision, we bring life or death into our life. How about that? Same thing. So too, with out from our choices, our decisions that we make, we bring life or death into our life. Life or death. And God says, choose life. Choose life, but you know, the decision is ours. Death does not come from God, and Satan it was not allowed to make it. How about that? Job 1:12 says, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of God. You know, this is one of these questions that I've been holding for God, in my heart to God for years, and that is, if Satan is such a bad guy, what is he doing in heaven? Satan's a bad guy, cast out. Here he's up in heaven talking to God. I'm waiting for revelation on that. Maybe God will give that to me someday or whatever. But anyways, Satan is not as powerful as many, give him the credit. He's really not. He's out there. Don't get me wrong. And don't think he you can conquer him. That's not going to happen. The way you can conquer, the way you can defeat him is through Christ. You being in Christ, and you can't defeat him. But Christ in you can defeat them. Amen. Don't fear them. Don't fear them that are able to kill the body, but fear yourself who is able to both kill the body and cast the soul into hell. That's underlined. Don't fear them that are able to kill the body, but fear yourself whom is able to kill both the body and cast the soul into hell. We always fear the elements that is able to put us into the eternal place of destruction. Our failure never comes from without. It always comes from within. Always comes from within. Failure never comes from without. And we can't blame each other anymore, right? Blame shifting. If you're a Christian, you can't blame anybody anymore. Amen? Adam blamed his wife. And who did Eve blame? Oh, the serpent beguiled me. That's blame shifting. But if you're a Christian, you can't blame anybody. I can't blame my wife anymore. She can't blame me. If I fail, it's not her fault. If I fail, it's my fault. It's my fault, you know? Amen. In God, but there is no failure. There's no failure. We come under horrible situations and circumstances. Amen? And we are ready to scream and tear out our hair. You know, God has you where He wants you when you're about ready to pull your hair out. And if you've ever been there, then you know what I'm talking about. If you ever go, my God, what is going on? Well, that's what's going on. God is working in your life. And He's trying to teach you some things and show you some things. And, you know, I mean, I have been there. You know, I like this verse, Song of Solomon 8:5. Who is he coming up from the wilderness leaning on his beloved? And the person coming up from the wilderness is me. And I'm leaning on my beloved because I've been beat up. I have no strength. God has taken me to the spiritual woodshed, and I'm just feeble. My hands are hanging at my side. My knees are feeble. I'm leaning on my beloved, and my beloved is Jesus Christ. And I went to the wilderness, and He's taught me the lessons, you know, and He's carrying me out of there. The wilderness is the place we go to learn how to lean on our beloved. Whew, powerful. A powerful verse. Amen. The only way we can collapse under such pressure is through our own unbelief and disobedience. There is no possible way that anyone else can bring us to destruction. If we fail, as a Christian, if we fail, no one can bring us to destruction or failure. We are the only person that can bring us, you know, to destruction. The strength of God, it comes not to our outward man, but to our inward parts. The strength of God doesn't strengthen this as much as He does this in our inward ability. Paul said that we would be strengthened with might in the inward man. If so, victory is assured. If not, we will fail time and time again. Unless we can allow God to strengthen us inwardly, then we will fail again and again and again. Children of Israel, they all died. The ones that died, the entire 4.5 Jews that left Goshen died in the wilderness. That generation died. The second generation that God raised up, who became soldiers, beginning in the wilderness of Zin, made it into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb for the first generation also made it in there. But God didn't kill them. The wilderness didn't kill them. They killed themselves because they never learned the lessons that God had for them. So too in our life. Unless we learn the lessons that God has for us, we too will fail. And we too will not enter into the life that God has for us. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love and your many blessings, Father. Lord, thank you for this tough teaching tonight, Father, Lord God. Lord, thank you, Father, Lord. Make me stronger, Father, Lord God. Lord, make me stronger. Lord, make my wife stronger, Father, Lord God. Lord, just knit our hearts together, Father, even greater than what they are, Father, Lord God. Help us, Father, Lord God. Work in our lives, Father, Lord. Each and every person that's listening to me tonight, Father, Lord God. Just bless us, Father, Lord God. Strengthen us with might in the inward man, Father, Lord. Help us to learn those lessons, Father, Lord. Give us knowledge and, Lord, give us understanding, Father, Lord, so that we'll be able to make the right choices and the right decisions, Father, Lord, so that we will be a victory, V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, victory in Christ tonight. Lord, I pray these things in a wonderful name. In the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen.
Amen. Amen.